Many blessings to you all and welcome to your journey in faith with the Reverend Dr. Amos Chewachong. Our text for reflection is Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 8 to 13. Ezekiel 20, 8 to 13. But they rebelled against me and would not listen to me. They did not get rid of the vile images they had set their eyes on, nor did they forsake the idols of Egypt. So I said I would pour out my wrath on them and spend my anger against them in Egypt. But for the sake of my name, I brought them out of Egypt. I did it to keep my name from being profaned in the eyes of the nations among whom they lived and in whose sight I had revealed myself to the Israelites. Therefore, I led them out of Egypt and brought them into the wilderness. I gave them my decrees and made known to them my laws, by which the person who obeys them will live. Also, I gave them my Sabbaths as a sign between us, so they would know that I, the Lord, made them holy. Yet the people of Israel rebelled against me in the wilderness. They did not follow my decrees, but rejected my laws, by which the person who obeys them will live, and they utterly desecrated my Sabbaths. So I said I would pour out my wrath on them and destroy them in the wilderness. My theme for reflection is the gods we serve and the grace that sets us free. The gods we serve and the grace that sets us free. I once heard a child ask her mother, "Mom, why do you look at your phone more than you look at me?" The mother smiled awkwardly and said, "Because my phone doesn't talk back." It was a light-hearted moment, but it struck something deep. In a world where attention has become a currency, we are all serving something. We bow to glowing screens, endless schedules and subtle addictions of heart and habit. The truth is that even modern people have their gods. We just call them by different names: success, productivity, security, approval, or pleasure. Ezekiel 28-13 reads like a divine lament. God recounts how Israel, freshly freed from Egypt, could not let go of the gods of Egypt. "They rebelled against me," he says. "They did not get rid of the idols they had set their eyes on." It is a devastating revelation. God had delivered his people from bondage, but Egypt still lived inside them. He had taken them out of slavery, but the slavery had not yet left their souls. That is the problem at the heart of this text, and if we are honest of ourselves. God rescues us from the old life, yet we keep our idols tucked away in our hearts. Israel's idols were carved from stone and wood. Ours are made of glass and light, of ambition and ego, of comparison and fear. The gods of our age are subtle, polite, and socially acceptable. But like Egypt's gods, they still demand our devotion, and in turn, they leave us empty. Ezekiel's prophecy reminds us that God does not ignore our misplaced worship. He disciplines his people, not to destroy them, but to restore them. Even in anger, he asks for the sake of his name to reveal himself as the only God who liberates rather than enslaves. That is the turning point of this passage. Divine judgment becomes divine mercy. God's goal is not punishment, but purification. Charles Taylor once wrote, "The human heart cannot not worship. It is not whether, but what we adore." That is the question Ezekiel forces us to confront. Who or what has your allegiance? Whose voice shapes your decisions, your peace, your worth? Like ancient Israel, we are surrounded by systems that promise freedom but deliver bondage. The idol of productivity tells us We are only as valuable as our output. The idol of pleasure whispers that happiness can be purchased. The idol of power seduces us into controlling others so we can feel safe. And yet, the more we serve them, the more they consume us. But here is the miracle. The same God who confronted Israel's rebellion still stoops to redeem us. In Christ, he does what Ezekiel's audience could only dream of. He enters our exile to bring us home. Jesus takes the shame of our false worship, the guilt of our divided hearts, and nails them to the cross. Where Israel's Sabbath was a sign of rest to come, Christ himself becomes that rest, our freedom from striving, our release from guilt, our healing from the cords that wound us. The question then is not whether we are worshipping, but whether our worship is transforming or deforming us. True freedom begins when we bring our idols into the open, naming them not with pride but with repentance. Like the Israelites, we must hear again God's voice saying, "Cast away the idols of Egypt." For only then can we discover the joy of serving the one who never enslaves but saves. There are two questions for reflection. Number one, what modern gods still have subtle control over your life, business, fear, approval, success, or self-image? Number two, how might your daily habits and rituals be reshaped to reflect devotion to the God who liberates rather than the idols that enslave? And now our practical exercise for the day. Today, take one object or habit that consumes your attention. Your phone, social media, work emails, and set it aside for 1 hour. In that hour, read a psalm, take a quiet walk, or pray for someone who has hurt you. Let that moment of silence become your personal exodus from Egypt. God of freedom and faithfulness, you see the idols we hide and the burdens we carry. We confess that we have bowed to the gods of our age, work, wealth, and worry, and have forgotten your ways. Forgive us, Lord. Break the chains that bind our hearts and lead us into your rest. Teach us to serve you alone, the God who rescues, restores, and renews. May our lives reflect your mercy. And may our worship bring healing to the world. Through Christ our Redeemer and rest, we pray. Amen. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with us all, now and forevermore. Amen.